Welcome to Counter Apologetics.
Welcome to Counter Apologetics. I'm your host, Emerson Green. And today we'll be discussing the atrocities of the 20th century. Christian apologists will often argue that the bloody wars and genocides of the 20th century were the logical result of the spread of atheism. Sometimes this is said explicitly, sometimes it's merely implied, but either way, it's a terrible argument for a host of reasons. It's also a frustratingly common argument. Is the death of God responsible for the terrible cruelties of the last century? Many Christian apologists seem to think so, but this idea doesn't hold up to the slightest bit of scrutiny. This is my first two-part episode because there's just so much to cover. There's a variety of apologetics under the 20th century atrocity umbrella. Next week we'll be discussing eugenics, social Darwinism, the Nazis, and whether atheists are able to morally condemn the events of the 20th century, since some apologists argue that we can't. This week the episode is divided into three main parts. First, does atheism lead to genocide and the decline of society? Then I'll try to dispel some confusion based on terminology. And lastly, a brief section on some of the common villains of the 20th century. Does atheism lead to the decline of society and genocide? Well, the first thing that needs to be said is that naming negative consequences to adopting a worldview does not count against the truth of that worldview. This is textbook argument to the consequences. Even if everything that Christian apologists said about atheism causing genocide and war was true, that would not mean that God was real. Or to put it in terms that the religious could relate to, does the fact that some people use religion to justify evil actions affect the truth value of religion? No, if God is real, he's still as real as he ever was, even if people use the Bible to justify evil actions. That seems like it should be obvious, but an assumption that appears to be embedded in a lot of these arguments is that the truth value of atheism is threatened if it can be linked to the atrocities of the 20th century. With that out of the way, there are two more things we should keep in our minds while we're discussing this topic: statistics on violence and the technological advancement of weaponry. Many apologists attribute the carnage and devastation of the two world wars and other 20th century atrocities to the spread of atheism, evolution, etc. They seem to imply that the high body count of so-called atheist regimes are higher because of their lack of a belief in God. Well, I would invite them to consider the significant change in weaponry. Do you think the high body count of the two world wars was due to the philosophical trends in academia, or was it perhaps nuclear weapons, tanks, missiles, poison gas, machine guns, fighter planes, submarines, and so on? Less than a century earlier, we were riding horses and fighting with cannons and swords and guns you had to load with a ramrod. Maybe the shocking devastation had less to do with atheism and more to do with the advanced weapons we developed in such a short time. We had never had these weapons before in history. In The Better Angels of Our Nature, Why Violence Has Declined, Steven Pinker points out that this is the most peaceful time of humanity's existence. There has never been a safer time to be alive. It's also the least religious time in history. But of course, the 20th century has seen the highest body counts of any wars or any violence in the past, but as Pinker notes, there has been a massive population explosion over the last few hundred years, and proportionally, the atrocities of the 20th and 21st centuries don't compare to earlier tragedies. For example, World War II has the highest body count of tragedies in the past, but when you account for population differences, World War II comes in ninth place in terms of percentage of population killed. World War I doesn't even make the top 10, and neither do any of the other notorious 20th century massacres. All the other events ranked in the top 10, controlled for population, are from earlier than the modern era, and some of them much earlier. This data flies in the face of the conventional wisdom that the world is getting more violent and going to hell in a handbasket. But since when do our intuitions give us accurate information about statistics? The fact is, according to Pinker, there has never been a less violent time to be alive than today. Our warped expectations regarding violence have to do with the availability heuristic, among other things. There's always something terrible going on somewhere to put on the news or on our phones. There's always enough violence happening somewhere in the country or the world to report to us. However, this does not give us an accurate understanding of the statistical frequency of violence as compared to our ancestors. The recent population explosion also distorts other figures. Hypothetically, if 10% of the entire world's population were to die in the year 1800, about 98 million people would die. If 10% of the world's population died today, about 710 million people would die. My point is simply that there are more people around, so proportionally small problems would still lead to large body counts. If something went wrong and there was a food shortage, more people will die by default. 0.5% of your country's population starving from a famine leaves a very different body count in 1750 than in 1950. For a more detailed argument about the decline of violence, I would read The Better Angels of Our Nature or listen to the many lectures Steven Pinker has given on the subject. These facts about the decline of violence have another interesting implication. Modern society is a lot less religious than our ancestors' time. As society has become less religious and the status of religion has diminished, things have only improved. As society has taken religion less seriously, things have only gotten better. I'm not claiming that there's a cause and effect relationship here, but if the glue of society is religion, as these apologists claim, you would not expect society to be a better place to live in today rather than 500 years ago. If the implications of a godless worldview include societal decline and unbridled misery, then the prediction one would make is that society would come unglued as the death of God sunk in. And yet, this is the opposite of what we see. This is also not true with just religiosity, but with acceptance of evolution. Darwinism is another target for the apologists in this discussion. There's usually an implication that acceptance of evolution will lead to social Darwinism and the destruction of society. In addition to the difference in religiosity in past and present, there is also a range among present-day societies. There is a large gap in religiosity between the developed and undeveloped worlds. If atheism leads to societal decline and violence, and religion holds everything together, what would you predict? Well, you would predict that the developed first world would be more religious, and the undeveloped third world would be more secular. However, this is the exact opposite of what we see. The more successful, developed parts of the world are monumentally less religious than the undeveloped parts of the world. Again, I'm not making any judgment on causality, because correlation doesn't always equal causation. I'm merely pointing out that the societies in the world that have the highest rates of non-belief and the highest rates of acceptance of evolution are much better places to live in than the societies that are more devoutly religious and accept evolution at lower rates. This is the exact opposite of what one would predict if the apologists were correct that the death of God leads to the inevitable crumbling of society. So, a word on terminology. Any conversation on the atrocities of the 20th century will lead us to come across the numerous political ideologies and philosophical trends that were active at the time. However, atheism, secularism, socialism, communism, fascism, Marxism, Darwinism, social Darwinism, Nazism, postmodernism, and moral relativism are all different terms that mean different things. That might seem obvious, but any conversation with a Christian apologist on the 20th century will eventually make you wonder if they think these are all the same, since they seem to use some of them interchangeably. Atheist does not mean communist. Atheist doesn't even mean secularist. Being an atheist does not mean that you automatically believe in evolution, and being a Darwinist does not, by default, mean that you are also a social Darwinist. Though many people who committed atrocities in the past have indeed been atheists, this does not imply that their crimes were motivated by their lack of a belief in God, whatever that would even mean. Yes, certain 20th century villains claimed to be atheists, but that doesn't mean that their atheism caused them to do what they did. I'll talk about a few of their political ideologies in a minute. Also, all atheists are not the same. This is because atheism is not a thing. It simply means that you don't believe in gods. It certainly doesn't entail any political ideology, and it doesn't prescribe any methods for carrying out your political agenda. This is why Sam Harris thinks the word atheist is not even worth having.
Well, the thing is, this is a trick, and this is one of the reasons why I'm...
It's not a trick.
I'm not a fan of the term atheism. I mean, atheism is a term totally without content. It's like being a non-astrologer. You know? I mean, we don't have a word for someone who's not an astrologer. And if astrologers suddenly became ascendant in our society, we wouldn't need to invent non-astrology as a discipline. We could talk about reason and science and evidence and common sense and put astrologers in their place. And so it could be with religion. And so this notion that Stalin and Hitler and Pol Pot were doing what they did because of atheism, because of non-belief in God. I mean, ask yourself, is too much skeptical inquiry really what's wrong with North Korea? I mean, the North Koreans are a cargo cult armed with nuclear weapons right now. They think that the food aid that we give them is a devotional offering to the genius of their dear leader. They are systematically impoverished, both physically and in terms of information. Too much knowledge, any knowledge is too much knowledge in North Korea. This is not a paradise of reasonableness.
It's not a word like Christian because atheist holds no positive content. To be an atheist is to not believe in a God and nothing more. You can be an atheist and a Republican, an atheist and a socialist, an atheist and a libertarian, and so on. Atheism is compatible with almost anything, so you don't know anything about a person or how they would behave as a national leader based on their atheism. This would not be the case for a biblical literalist Christian in the United States or a devout Salafi Muslim in Egypt or an ultra-Orthodox Jew in Israel, all of whom you could make predictions about how they would behave as a national leader based solely on their religious beliefs. This also applies to smaller issues. You can guess what Mike Pence, for example, would think about abortion based on the knowledge that he's a Christian before anything else.
I'm a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican, in that order.
Anyone who would introduce themselves as a Christian above all else is almost certainly staunchly pro-life. On the other hand, if someone said a critical part of their identity was being an atheist, you would have no idea about their feelings regarding abortion. Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens are both, quote, militant new atheists who are both criticized for their firebrand approach, and yet they have very different views on abortion. Again, this is because atheism is not a thing and it doesn't inform any of your other values. It offers you no insight whatsoever about that person's other views, and it certainly doesn't offer you any special knowledge about how they would behave as a president or prime minister. The most common names that get thrown around carelessly by apologists are Hitler, Stalin, Mao, and Pol Pot.
Hitler.
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 Adolf Hitler.
Stalin. Mao.
Stalin.
Hitler.
Stalin.
Adolf Hitler.
Mao and Pol Pot.
They're all atheists.
All confirmed atheists.
Have you read Mein Kampf?
Governments that have atheist points of view.
In the name of atheism.
I'm going to give a brief summary of their atrocities, since it's worth being at least casually familiar with what they did and why. I've omitted Hitler because he's for next week, since that episode is going to be a lot more about Nazis and eugenics. The main aim of Stalin was the liberation of the workers. He wanted to end individual possession and capitalist exploitation, and he was confident that collectivized agriculture would immediately increase the food supply for urban populations and for the processing industry, as well as lead to greater agricultural exports. So why then did something like 5% of the people amass wealth and rule the other 95%? He claims that if he had just had more time, then things would have worked out. He claims that his people had confidence in him, but that was probably untrue for many, as he killed anyone who disagreed with him. And for those who did believe in his vision, that was probably because he took control of all the media. Pol Pot's goal was to establish a system of government based on agrarian collectivism. He believed the best way to self-sufficiency was to force people into the countryside to be put to work in government labor projects and collectivized farms. It was supposed to be an agrarian communist society with no individual possession. He ordered purges of people who were going to be of no benefit to the new Cambodia, which included the educated class and those with ties to the West, as well as Christians, Buddhists, and Muslims. He estimated that only 1 to 2 million people were needed to build the new agrarian utopia, and as for his policy towards the rest, he said, "To keep you is no benefit, to destroy you is no loss." Mao Zedong developed a political theory based on Leninist Marxism, and after founding the People's Republic of China, he launched a campaign that aimed to rapidly transform China's agrarian economy to an industrial economy. This campaign led to the deadliest famine in history and the deaths of more than 15 million people. He spent much of his time killing dissidents and violently suppressing any opposition. He caused up to 70 million deaths through arbitrary executions, purges, and forced labor.
Exactly the same disbelief that compelled Stalin to wipe out private enterprise and free trade, and instead pursue centralized distribution in the coercive requisition of agricultural production.
Exactly, the inevitable result of atheists getting into power.
These men may have claimed to be atheists, but that doesn't mean that they had anything in common with one another, or that their behavior was indicative of that of any other atheist, because atheist doesn't hold any positive content. And there's no indication that their actions were motivated by their atheism. And this is to say nothing of the rapid advancement of weaponry or the population explosion as factors in their atrocities. They were motivated by their political ideologies, and I would say to ignore that fact is a failure intellectually and a failure morally. As I mentioned, next week's episode will be part 2 of our discussion on atheism in the 20th century, and we'll be discussing Darwinism, eugenics, and Hitler, and that episode will be available to patrons on Thursday. Speaking of that, I want to thank my new patrons this week, Chris, Scarf, and Will. Thank you guys so much. It really means a lot to have fellow atheists support what I'm doing. And you can support the show on a per-episode basis at patreon.com/counter, where you can earn early access to every episode in addition to many other benefits. If you don't have the money to support on Patreon, but you still want to commit genocide in the name of atheism, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or leave a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you found this podcast. Feel free to reach out with questions, comments, or topic suggestions using the contact info you can find in the show notes. If you think I've made an error or excluded an important argument for or against the apologetics discussed in this episode, you should wait till next week, but you can voice your opinion publicly on our Facebook page, or you can message me privately. Our theme music was written and performed by the band Wailers. The song is called Magic Tricks and was used with permission. Thank you for joining me today. I've been Emerson Green, and I'll see you next time we meet to counter apologetics.